This is the Student Hour, student radio for the city of Portland. Join us as we hear from students across the Portland area and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of the Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. For over 100 years, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. The Student Hour is brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and KBPS. This is the Student Hour.
Good morning, Student Hour listeners. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Jacob Patterson. I'm the KBPS radio instructor at Benson Polytechnic High School. Our students enjoying the summer vacation, but still busy at work at the radio station, keeping content on the air all summer long on the Student Hour for KBPS, Portland Radio Project, and KBOO. In the studio with me this morning is one of the Benson superstars that just won a state championship in rugby, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But first of all, say hi and introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Gloria Rivas Ellis. I'm a sophomore.
Gloria, you, well, first of all, tell us what are you planning to major in at Benson?
Construction.
And why you, what is it about construction that you enjoy?
I don't know, just building stuff. Even though, like, when it's nothing, you can just make it into anything.
And maybe you build a house someday.
Hopefully, that'd be pretty cool.
You could build your own house someday.
That'd be amazing, actually.
Well, Gloria, you were also really involved in other extracurricular activities around Benson. Tell us about some of the other things that you do, the clubs and sports that you do.
I don't actually do many clubs right now. I haven't really done many clubs, but I did rugby outside of high school because we don't have our own rugby teams here.
So how long have you been playing rugby?
For about 2 years now.
2 years. And you said that Benson does not have a rugby team?
No.
So what team do you play for?
The East County Grackles. It's a mix of all the PPS schools because none of the schools have a rugby team.
So no Portland area high school has their own rugby team.
Yeah.
But there are a handful of students at all the schools that like playing.
Yes.
And so you form your own team, team it up together. So who are the teams you play against when you're playing school competitions?
Well, different schools from different cities, like the Salem Snapping Turtles, the Summit Girls, I think it was called. I don't know. They're a new team. Valley Panthers, I'm pretty sure, is also a school team. There used to be David Douglas Scots from David Douglas High School, but I think they're discontinued now.
So there are a few rugby teams, despite the fact that a lot of schools don't even have their own school team. But you are, despair is not an option. We will not take no for an answer. We're passionate about rugby. We're going to play rugby. Now, you just accomplished something that is really, really cool. Tell us about the big news. Tell us about the big accomplishment.
Well, we won state championship with no losses in the whole season, which is a pretty big deal because it's been a while since we've been able to do that.
You went undefeated the entire season and won the state championship.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Actually, now that I think about it, for two seasons in a row, technically, seven seasons is, like, not quite considered full rugby, but we won that undefeated too, so that was pretty cool.
That's epic. And so I'm curious, for maybe a listener that's tuning in right now that's not familiar with rugby, it's not at the top of the list of sports when you ask most folks, you know, what's your favorite sport? You know, it's usually basketball or football or baseball.
Soccer.
Or, you know, and then a little bit farther down the line, there might be a bowling or a hockey. And then, you know, if you're lucky, we might remember to mention rugby. Tell us about, What is rugby like for our listeners who maybe never seen it or never watched a rugby game before? How would you describe rugby?
I think the best way to describe it is kind of like the original football, but no armor, and also some soccer elements in it, I guess. I don't know.
It's like football meets soccer.
Yeah, except it's more of a football-y thing. Like, no armor, you go up and tackle people, and you have to get it to the end zone. It's so, pretty similar.
Gloria, what position do you play? Are you primarily on offense or defense or a little bit of both? What's your position on your team?
Well, everyone on the team has to play both offense and defense. There's forwards and backs, and I'm usually somewhere in the back, like a center or a wing.
And I'm curious, so what was the team that you played in the championship match? Where were they from?
Oh, Happy Valley, because they were the Valley Panthers.
The Valley Panthers. And what was the final score in the state championship game?
I'm pretty sure it was like 67-17. I don't quite remember, but we had a 50-point lead was all I know.
Now, I'm not big on rugby scoring, but that to me sounds like a blowout.
It was.
It was a blowout. So you're only a sophomore heading into your junior year. Are you going to play rugby more? Are you going to play rugby again?
Of course. I'm planning on playing also in the summer season, which isn't a big thing, but it's touch rugby, so no tackle.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun, though.
And how many, any idea of how many players that were on your team that won the championship? Any idea how many of them are coming back with you next year? Or were there any seniors that are graduating going on that are not going to come back?
Like, 8 of them aren't coming back because 7 of them were seniors and the 2 others, I think, were exchange students. But we'll still have a pretty full team. I hope so.
So it sounds like you're going to be heading into a rebuilding year this year.
Yeah, I plan to make posters and hang them up at the school so that I can get some more people from Benson.
Yeah, well, and you read my mind, Gloria. You must be psychic. That's my next question. Like, how do we, so hopefully, you know, there might be a student or maybe even parents or families of a student who are listening to this on the radio going, hey, wait a minute, my son or daughter or student plays sports or likes football or likes soccer, and sounds like there's not a whole lot of action in the rugby world. Maybe it could be easy to get into the rugby world. How did you get involved on or get onto the rugby team?
My neighbor, she used to be the coach for the team that I'm on now, and she was just like, hey, you should join because I think you'd be pretty good. You're pretty fast. So, yeah, that's how I got into it.
So when does the rugby season start in high school?
Well, there's 3 seasons in a year technically in our organization, but I guess only 2 of them really count. There's 7 seasons in the 7 season in spring, the 15s season in fall, and the touch season in summer.
So there is a fall season. So basically when students come back to school in September, it'd be time right away to sign up to get on rugby for the fall season?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did some practicing in August. A little bit, I think. I don't quite remember. But yeah, you can sign up pretty much in September and you'll be fine.
And if students are listening to this, keep your eyes out for more information for flyers up around school at the beginning of the year.
Or go to matchfacts.com or the rugby organization website because they have sign-ups there, I'm pretty sure.
Let's mention the website one more time in case listeners missed that. Real slowly, what was the name of the website, Gloria?
The one that I use is either rugbyexplorer.com or matchfacts.com.
Matchfacts.com or rugbyexplorer.com.
Except it's an X for explorer for some reason.
Okay, but if you Google it, you should be able to navigate and find your way there.
Yeah.
Well, Gloria, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes of your time to jump in studio and say hi, and congratulations on your epic state championship.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
I get the feeling that you probably haven't received a whole lot of recognition for this because, I mean, there's not even a team here at Benson. Have you received a lot of high fives and congratulations and congratulations?
At the game, yes, but after that, not really, no.
Well, I think you are well on your way to making a change and raising awareness about how awesome rugby is. And now the fact that you've got a state championship under your belt, I think it's going to be easier to recruit more students to join you in the future.
I sure hope so. That'd be pretty cool.
Again, congratulations. And will you circle back around in a few months and check in and let us know how the season's going this year?
Of course, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Student Hour.
You're listening to the Student Hour. Student voices from Portland for Portland. Powered by AM 1450 KBPS.
The Lightning are coached by Mark Grassman, assisted by Thomas Frentavlaw. Those are the starting five for both schools tonight. Jacob, I understand you had an interview with one of the health service people here tonight.
You know, Sean, when we come out to these games, yeah. I always, you know, every once in a while, you know, a bad injury happens and a student gets hurt and the medical professionals are there waiting to help. And I've always wanted to interview them, just talk with them about what they do. And we had an opportunity to speak with one of those people before the game tonight and thought that, you know, students, health ops students at Benson might appreciate it. And radio students learning how to interview someone at a game might appreciate it.
Let's go to the interview right now.
We are here live at Franklin High School in the gymnasium getting ready for some Friday night basketball action. Lake Ridge in-house to take on the Lightning. And we got a couple minutes before the game kicks off, and we're here with one of the medical professionals that is on standby that works at these games to help students out if anything ever goes wrong. And first of all, thank you so much for a minute of your time. Tell us your name and what is like your official title?
Okay, yeah, my name is Sherilyn. My official title, I'm a licensed and certified athletic trainer. I have my master's degree. And I work for Providence. So Providence, they contract us, and we're all at all the PIL schools, and we just come out here, and yeah, we take care of all the athletes.
Awesome. Well, first of all, you know, kind of tell us, walk us through a night in your life, and what are the things that you do? What are the things that you watch for, and how do you help students?
Yeah. So for like tonight, when we have like games and stuff like this, so basically I come a little early just to see if kids need to get taped or if they need like any scrapes or bumps, anything wrapped up before the game, all that good stuff. Just pregame prep, and then I basically sit and watch the game, and I have my medical kit with me. I have my AED, my splints and all that stuff, just all my emergency equipment. And basically I'm watching the game, and if somebody gets hit in the head, I'm on that. If somebody goes down and is not responsive, I'm on that. So we do anything from like, you know, if somebody has a bloody nose, I'll stop a bloody nose. Or if I need to call EMS and we need to get somebody to the hospital, I'm responsible for that too. So we got a few different things that we are responsible for game day, but making sure everybody is safe and is playing good and is comfortable, and if somebody's having any kind of injury issues or anything like that, we address that as well.
You know, those are the moments that when everyone comes to the game and we see a kid go down and get hurt, you know, it's just our hearts just stop, and everybody's like, you know, there, we catch our breath, and there's this like silent, still moment when we're all just hoping and wishing for nothing but the best. And you know, very few of us in that moment have the courage to be the one running out there to help. That is amazing that you have that ability to do that.
Right. And the thing is like, it, a lot of that stuff takes practice and repetition. So we are very highly educated healthcare professionals. I've done 4 years of undergrad where I was a biology pre-medicine major. And then I went to grad school for 2.5 years. And that's where I got my master's degree. So it does take a lot of like the like mental capability, but we do have a lot of education. We do have a lot of training, and we are really prepared in our education programs and then through our like residencies and stuff like that. So we are very highly prepared, and you know, it's just always making sure you're running through like some situations in your head to make sure that you're ready for literally anything that could happen. So it takes a lot of education, a lot of dedication, and a lot of practice. And so, you know, it's a lot of work to get to this point.
And Geraldine, just for our health occupation students at Benson, you know, young high school students, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors that are just getting started, and they're thinking maybe I want to become a doctor or a nurse or maybe I like sports. What would you say to students that might encourage them to pursue something that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think one great in is like sports medicine really encompasses so many aspects of healthcare. I mean, we do a little bit of everything. We do a little bit of wound care, injury prevention. We do a lot of things like, you know, making sure athletes are in shape and fit enough to compete. And then, you know, we also take care of concussions. We do a lot of rehabilitation and return to play protocols for various things. So if students are interested in the medical field, like, you know, getting in contact with your athletic trainer at your school is a great way to start, because you're going to get exposed to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I have a sports med crew that works with me. I'm always like going over anatomy. I'm always going over physiology. I'm always going over the little things, and I'm always speaking in med terms because those are things that are going to expose them. So if they want to go into nursing school or med school or PT school or to be a PA or anything like that, they're already getting exposed to all those things, because that's what's cool about more sports medicine is it's a little bit of everything in healthcare. So, you know, if kids want to do that, that's a great way to start, you know, just getting to hang out, watch some sports, and also getting to learn a lot of cool new things.
Geraldine, thank you so much for a minute of your time. I know you're busy and the game's getting ready to start, so you're going to have to run, but it's great talking with you. And I think a lot of people, you know, really appreciate what you do and have a deep respect for what you do. And just you being here so that everybody stays safe probably means the world to a lot of people.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's like one of the biggest things is like a lot of people don't really know what we do. And I think that's important for people to be able to see that and know what we do and kind of get behind us in that aspect. You know, a lot of people know what nurses do and doctors do and stuff like that, and athletic training is one of those healthcare professions that we do need more people to know what we do. And you know, that's another thing that I'm always trying to do as well, is make sure everybody kind of understands like who we are and what we're about. But yeah, of course, I'm glad to spread the word.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Great work, Jacob, with that interview.
Yeah, and just demonstrating to our broadcasting students how when you go out to the game on a Friday night, yeah, enjoy the game and have a good time, but hey, you know, notice right in front of you all of the stories and the amazing humans that make this fun, exciting thing happen, and all the stories that they can tell. And you never hesitate to ask them to tell their story. Sometimes you'd be surprised what you might find.
Not at all.
You're listening to Portland Radio Project on 99.1 FM. Our mission is to elevate local artists and organizations through streaming, broadcasting, and podcasting, engaging new generations of arts lovers and community supporters. This segment I've prepared here is one that I hope to repeat on PRP. I always wanted to be able to enter my library and playlist to choose one particular spotlight, if you will, on an album, artist, or even a particular song to elaborate on and appreciate why it holds value. Today's subject will be none other than Grant Green, a jazz guitarist who spent his career with the Blue Note label. jazz guitar seems to go relatively unnoticed in the jazz scene, which is a shame because I find that it's mellower than rock electric guitar, but certainly more stylish than acoustic, an ideal middle ground between the two. So, without further ado, this is Grandstand by Grant Green.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you have any comments or questions for our team, contact us at kbps.am or call the station at 503-916-5101. That's 503-916-5101.
To support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart. Hello, KBPS listeners. Really excited to welcome into the KBPS studios here at Benson High School one of our very own Benson students who just auditioned for one of those singing reality TV shows that everybody is watching, The Voice. Hugo, go ahead and jump on the mic there and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're passionate about music and singing.
Well, my name is Hugo Pia Lewis. I am a 10th grader at Benson High School. And why am I passionate about singing? It started when I was younger. I used to sing a lot when I was younger. I used to, I f- fell in love with music when I saw a musical. It was Les Mis. I saw it on Broadway, and that really is when I first took off with loving to sing.
And on Broadway, you mean you actually saw it in New York on Broadway?
I saw it on New York and Broadway.
Wow. I've seen Les Mis in performed, but it was at a theater in Washington, D.C., a very amazing play. And I'm not surprised that was an inspiration for you. That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
So you just mentioned, how long have you been singing for?
Since I was around like five, I always been able to... I love playing piano, so that's also what contributed to me loving to sing. I would play a song on the piano by ear, and I would just play it on the piano, and I would try to sing along with it.
Now, have you done anything like performances or talent shows before?
Yes. I go to a camp called Camp 10 Trees. It's a camp in Washington State. It is a camp for... people who are part of the LGBTQ+ community, and towards the end of the camp, they do a talent show, and I would do it each year. I would sing, I would perform in some sort of way, like I would perform a little act of a musical or something like that. So yeah.
And what about auditions? I mean, auditioning for The Voice, that's kind of a big deal. Have you done any of these big time audition things before? Is this your first time?
This is my first time.
So, can you tell us how it went? Do you know? Are you going to be on the show? Do we get to see you on TV? Or what can you tell us?
I think I did personally really good. I decided to actually go through with the audition because I felt like I was having a really good day. And I got the results this morning, and unfortunately, I didn't make it through. So, I'm just going to keep trying. Try again next year. I have more auditions coming up.
Well, that's my next question. I was sorry to hear that you didn't make the cut this time, but
yeah.
I'm very happy to hear that you're not going to give up. That's beautiful. So what's next on your radar then?
Next, I'm actually auditioning to get on the Disney Company.
Oh.
And then I'm going to be auditioning the following weekend for America's Got Talent. And then I'm going to be doing a audition for... a music reality show in Korea.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. And I know that our listeners, at least I imagine some of our listeners are pretty excited. And I know what we're all thinking now. We got to hear this. We want to hear something. Can you, do you have anything you'd be willing to sing for us real quick?
Yeah. I have the song that I auditioned with.
Okay.
I'm going to do the first part of it,
okay,
because it is kind of a long song, so
sure.
Here I go. All of these lines across my face tell you the story of who I am. So many stories of where I've been and how I got to where I am. But these stories don't mean anything when you got no one to tell them to. It's true, I was made for you. Yeah.
Hugo, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. You sound good. and just the fact that you have the courage to stand up and say, let me sing. Give me the microphone. Let me audition.
Yeah.
Where do you find your courage to do this?
I have support from my friends, my family. They are all like, if you have a dream, push for it. Never give up. So I'm not giving up.
Amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
And good luck. And I can't wait to hear you on The Voice or Disney someday. And when you get your album released, you let me know, and I can't wait to air it on KBPS.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Hugo.
Yeah.
Hello, AM1450 listeners on PRP. I'm James with Josiah, and we're going to be talking about a serious issue about homelessness in America.
It's been a pretty serious issue overall in America, and especially in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, especially where I and James both live. For example, one thing that's kind of keeping people on the streets a little bit is a criminal record with drugs that can definitely keep people on the street. And actually, the criminal record disallows people from getting jobs. And that in and of itself can be a pretty horrible thing for a long time, because no job means that your family probably won't talk to you because of drug abuse. And then after a while, it just spirals until eventually you're back on the streets, not making enough money, and you end up just doing drugs again so that way you can feel happy.
Honestly, another big problem is, well, our government building anti-homeless structures. Like, they're already suffering enough. Why are we building stuff like this? We're just making people who already suffer more.
Yeah, didn't people start putting, like, a bunch of spikes underneath bridges so that way people couldn't sleep under them?
Yeah, they also started putting that bar in between benches to prevent homeless people from sleeping on them.
Yeah, which is even worse. And then I'm not sure if this is a thing that happened already, but I know that there were more laws put in to restrict homeless camps. I think it went from a 48-hour ban to being a 24-hour ban, where homeless camps can only be up for 24. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, yeah, I heard you talking about it earlier today. And that's still kind of like bullcrap. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah. I think it's pretty upsetting in general. I think a big area of homelessness comes from, definitely, I already said this, but drug abuse and the criminal record behind it. And the worst part is that if you have a criminal record, again, already said, you can't really get with your family because criminal background, and you can't get a job, which doesn't allow you to have purpose, and so you just end up on the streets, crying, depressed, and back on drugs. And my family actually at one point got pretty close to that, where nobody was suffering from drug abuse, but my family was definitely a bit poorer than most, and for about 8 years, I had to survive off of food stamps. And it's very sad to see what our amazing nation and country has come down to.
Yeah, but it's not that with a criminal record you can't get a job, it's just that they're a lot less likely to hire you.
Oh yeah, it's bad. It's so bad. There are some jobs, though, which are very hopeful, where you can, like, I know that they're usually started by people who were in jail, but some companies will hire you some companies will hire you even if you have a criminal background and even if you've been to jail, and they usually try and, like, re-educate you, or not, like, in a bad way, but in a good way, in, like, a very accepting environment, and introduce you to a more bright side of life.
So you mean actual rehabilitation rather than the prison system's quote-unquote rehabilitation?
Yeah, and I know... Oh, here's another thing, also tied a little bit into homelessness, is that there are programs you can get into where they stop you, like they give you jobs, they give you therapy, they give you medicine you can take in case you're going through serious medical issues. And I forget what these companies are called, but I know that they help people who are struggling. My parents got into a few of those programs, and the problem with them is that they go... only so far. So you'll make a certain amount of money, and then they'll say, you're making too much money. All of a sudden, you lose any help you're getting with your mental health, any medicine you're getting to help you, again, with your mental health. And three, it also stops you from getting any better jobs or getting therapy, anything that can actually help you. And it just destroys you. And so... you'll be ending up going into the cycle of getting into these programs, getting help, and then all of a sudden dropping out of these programs because you're making too much money, going in, getting out, and getting out. But some people, very few, end up getting past the bar where they're making too much money, and they start, or quote unquote too much money, and they start making actually enough money to survive and buy a house, and then they get into like the middle class, the like working class society where they can actually survive.
Another problem is, I'm pretty sure not many people know about this, because I only found out when you brought it up another time, and this kind of conversation is, well, how would most people know about this? Not many people know about it.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it at first, actually. I had to literally, the school had us do a project on serious problems in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. And so I did a project on how mental health, drugs, and police affect homelessness. And I can't go into a lot of that here because it was pretty screwed up. But I can go into a little bit of it, which is what I've just been talking about. But I would never have known if I hadn't had done that project. And it was only supposed to be for Portland, Oregon. But there's so much to go into. It is absolutely near impossible to go into that stuff. So I ended up just looking into all of the stuff outside of Portland, Oregon as well. Like, I found out about a guy who police showed up on a scene 30 seconds, right? This guy walks out of his tent. He's not doing anything. And then the police shoot him. They didn't even try and calm him down, and they said that he was approaching them with a 13-inch blade, which a lot of people, bystanders, people who saw the event, said it was false. And even the guy, he had a friend who he'd taken in who also was homeless and was struggling, and he gave him a tent and like a place to live, and then that guy ended up having to sleep in his friend's tent, the one that just died, for the rest of the night, knowing that his dead body was just outside.
I do know that there was a homeless man who got a tiny house from people, and it was like the best gift he ever received, and cops just took it away. I don't know if he got it back, but I do know that they did.
Yeah, it's a big problem in America. Luckily, Benson is a great school for sort of dealing with that kind of stuff. Some areas of manufacturing do here at Benson, I think you can start it in junior year and it ends up being a project that like continues through the whole year. You can work on engineering an actual house that somebody can live in. Usually it goes to people at the school who have less money than normal, but a lot of the time it can end up going to somebody who is homeless and like deprived of any real human interaction on the street, which is also another thing. People on the street are like, it's very sad to know that people don't treat them like humans. Like, they're another person. People are people, right? And if we can't treat people like actual human beings, then we've truly lost all humanity.
Yeah, like, certain business owners will dump cold water on homeless people here in Portland and expect to be treated like the hero after recording it and posting it online.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's gross. And I don't even know. I can't put it into words. But it's huge. It's a huge problem. It's not only in Portland either. It's a huge problem in all of America. It's terrible.
But the worst thing is that most of the time they won't even be able to get houses because of how expensive housing is here in Oregon.
Oh, yeah, and it's not only here in Oregon either as well. Again, that's what I was saying earlier. This whole thing is so huge, it literally cannot only be in Oregon. It is everywhere, right? So we have problems all across America where housing is way, way, way too expensive, and the amount of money people are getting is way, way too low. And we've gone past the days of like the 60s and maybe a little bit in the 80s where minimum wage was like all you needed. And now minimum wage isn't even a life wage. There are so many arguments that people go into where they're like, people should be making as much as doctors because that's, I don't even remember. It was something stupid, like doctors are the only people right now who have like a living wage. And it's so sad.
Like, at the Shake Shack in Seattle, you will be making $21.50 an hour, and you still can't afford to live there. Like, this isn't even a joke.
It's bad.
And it's not even as expensive as it is here in Portland, and you will probably not find wages as good as that here in Portland.
Yeah. Well, I know that this is kind of a sad note to end it on, but thanks for inviting me on and having me be here with everyone to make this whole, like, basically an announcement.
Yeah, we need to do something, people. Like, everybody needs to pitch in. We can get the government to do something about this. If we talk about this and the people as a collective, we can make real change.
Yeah.
This has been James and Josiah on AM 1450 KBPS on Portland Radio Project. Thank you for listening, people.
Hello, this is Colby with the KBPS 1450 team. I'm here with Josiah.
Hi, I'm here.
So, Josiah, I'm just curious, what about history do you love?
There are a lot of things to love about history. I think that there have been a lot of... Really, what's happened in history is a big thing. It depends on what century, really, but there's been a lot of very, very interesting things that have happened.
What are some of your favorite stories?
The Siege of Vienna is by far my favorite because that was a situation where the Ottoman Empire raided the capital of where it was like Austria, which is Vienna. And there were only 14,000 men at Vienna, but there were 170,000 of the Ottoman Empire's troops, cannons and all, coming to attack, and they had to defend.
Do you have a favorite, like, century for history?
A favorite century? Oh, that's a hard one. Ooh. Personally, I really like Celtic history. So before, way before Common Era. So like 2500 BCE.
And why do you like that century so much?
Because the Celts existed in it, and they are the origin to a lot of things. They created the alchemy or the alchemical symbols that we use today. They use they invented Celtic artwork, which is just fantastic. And they had a really interesting relationship with nature, where they believed that they could be on the same level with nature as they were with their like astral body, which was basically your soul. So it's definitely really weird. And then there were also it's interesting because the Romans had to organize all of the different tribes that were like Celtic or Germanic into one word. So they called them barbarian. So we have the Celts, the Gauls, the Germanic tribes, the Picts of Scotland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they all had their own different things. Like the Germanic tribes started off in Norway and went down into Germany, and that's where they get their name.
Do you have any like favorite stories or events that happened in like the Celtic era, Celtic century?
There was the sack of Rome. I haven't done all. I did more research personally on actually like the more literal people, not actually what they did. I did find out that they made chainmail and that they also brought soap to Europe and probably pancakes, honestly, because they made pancakes. But also I found out that they weren't as like barbarous as we think of them, which is, you know, we think of them today as barbarians and interesting thing, the Viking helmet that we recognize, the one with the horns, that is actually a Celtic helmet, which would be used by the Germanic tribes. So not actually Viking related at all. The question was, what did they do? I went off track. I don't have any serious stories, but I did find out that they were a lot more hospitalic than we think. Usually with a Celtic tribe, they would invite people in if they found them lost. And then before even asking their name, they would sit them down in a house, give them warmth, give them food, and give them water before even asking who they were.
Now, is it true that a lot of the stereotypes we hear about Vikings and their culture in general is really just made up more for media and isn't really that true?
Yeah, 100%. I already said this, but we even changed their helmets to have a different appearance so that way they seem more crazy. Also, a lot of depictions from back in the day depicted them as like demons or demon people because of how they believed that if they died in honor, which was basically just dying while fighting as hard as you could, that they would go to Valhalla. So they did not fear death, which was by far one of the more interesting things. But that's why they would fight like quote unquote demons, as the English said. But if you want to know actual information about the Vikings and the stuff that they did, the Poe's Edda, that's like the literal best place to find anything for them. Because that was written by Snarly Starlson, and he, I don't remember how he died. I think he was executed by a king. But a lot of the depictions we get today of the Vikings were created through stereotypes that the English made.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, what's the difference between Valhalla and then just the regular afterlife?
Like heaven?
Yeah.
So Valhalla in the Vikings was that when you die, you end up in like a courtyard outside of Odin's Great Hall, which has over 150 doors, all fit for tens of thousands of men. And every day, a boar, like one of the gods' boars, dies, and it creates a meal for every single soldier who died. And so they all get to eat and drink mead and chill with their friends who also died. And then they end up every day being able to go out in the courtyard and test their fighting skills and better each other by fighting one another until every night they go in and eat. Every morning they wake up and fight. And that was like their whole culture.
Now, is it true that during like Ragnarok, they come back from the dead to fight for Odin?
Yeah, the Einarjar. They come back to fight for Odin. They're all those soldiers who went to Valhalla and died. And along with that, the other people who come to fight are fighting against Odin and for Hel. Fun fact, ruler of Hel is Hel, which is Loki's daughter. Apparently they ride in on a boat made of toenails and fingernails. And then they come in and fight against the Einarjar and against the gods.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, the Valkyries, aren't they also Einarjar?
Valkyries are the angels who are sent down from Odin to collect the fallen warriors and bring them to Valhalla if they deem them good enough.
So it's more of your skill-based rather than just simply fighting.
Yeah, like if you're skilled enough, or it's also whoever died valiantly. So people who died to the enemy's blade and who felled somebody in combat at least once, or just really, I have a lot of blanks, but still, you get the idea. If you died in what they considered honorable, then you died correctly and you could go to Valhalla.
Do you have to die to become a Valkyrie, or can you just become a Valkyrie?
I cannot remember how the Valkyrie were made. I don't think that people become Valkyries unless it's like what's the word? I'm blanking on the word for a female warrior, but it was like maiden or something.
Okay, so I mean that definitely seems cool. Norse mythology is actually something I've always been very, very interested in.
There are a lot of really, really weird stories. One thing they show is that before going on a voyage, they would pass around a bowl of water, and each person would like spit, sneeze, and like basically just put everything into it, and then they would wash their face and hair. And it was gross, but it strengthened their immune system and made it harder for them to die to disease, which did not come in handy when they invaded France.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I've always kind of loved about history as a whole, is just kind of how disgusting everybody was, and everyone just kind of like okay with it, like Diogenes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him or much of his stories.
I've heard the name.
But, well, one of my favorite stories of his was, I believe it was a wealthy Athen called him a dog and threw a bone on to him. And Diogenes' response was peeing on his leg. And when the Athen, you know, got upset, Diogenes said, well, why are you mad? Would you not expect a dog to act like this?
Wow, what a way to call him out.
Or I believe it was Alexander the Great heard of Diogenes, wanted to visit him. So he finally found him. He was laying in the sun. And when Alexander the Great walked up to him and said, I will offer you anything you want in this world. And all he asked was, could you step out of the way? You're blocking the sunlight.
Yeah,
to Alexander the Great.
He literally, didn't he kill his cousin to get into power too?
I'm not sure. But my favorite thing about that interaction between Alexander the Great and Diogenes was Alexander the Great said that if he was not Alexander the Great, he would want to be Diogenes.
Yes, because that guy was so crazy. He was homeless, but he had the same mental, like philosophical standpoints of any great philosopher for the time.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of his work, he didn't write down or do too much about when it came to his works, but stuff that like wrote about or things that he even wrote down was actually destroyed.
There was also a guy he came to during one of his lessons. He was like a philosopher. I forget the name. I'm blanking on the name so hard, but you know who it is.
I believe I do. Is it Plato?
Yeah, that's what I keep. That's what my mind keeps going to.
It was probably Plato because Diogenes had quite a lot of interactions with Plato, calling him an idiot every chance he got.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do have to go. But this was great.
Of course.
This was a great conversation.
This was Colby with the KPPS team.
And Josiah.
I hope everyone has a great day.
If you'd like to support the Student Hour, please consider donating to our program at kbps.am and donating to our sponsors, Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like the Student Hour stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click on the big red heart.
The Student Hour, highlighting student voices from around Portland and beyond. The Student Hour is powered by AM 1450 KBPS broadcasting students at Benson High School. Full episodes of The Student Hour are available on our website, kbps.am. On air since 1923, KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Thanks to our supporters, Portland Radio Project, KBOO Community Radio, and thanks to our listeners like you. This concludes our episode for today. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Joe Anderson. Thanks for joining us.